Welcome to the Possibility Project, an open conversation series where changemakers talk about the big questions we need to answer now. Your hosts are Devin Davey and Heather Hiscox, together with technical help from the nonprofit Snapcast. This series empowers the listener to shift systems, rebuild structures, and foster equity in the social impact sector.
So welcome to Possibility Project. It's a disruptive conversation series where we talk about big questions that we need to ask now as a sector. So we have representatives from all across the sector coming together and talking about the most important topics that we have to discuss around equity and investments, power and philanthropy. And today we're so excited for this topic around Create Protest and working with Artists for Change. So if you have missed any of our previous episodes, because this is episode 11 and the first of 2021, you can check out our website at possibilityproject.org. Devin has put that in the chat, where you can see any of the past episodes with all of our amazing speakers. So we use Zoom introduction guidelines that were shared by the Genesis Healing Institute and Nova Ren, who was one of our previous speakers, who's an amazing leader. And we want to put those in the chat as well. So he has offered to share those with anyone that does online events. You can use those and refer to those as well. So I just want to introduce myself in a couple different ways. So I'm Heather Hiscox. I use she, her pronouns. I'm coming to you from land that was kept and held as sacred by the Odum people. I honor these ancestral keepers of this land where I am now living, and I honor their descendants who continue to breathe sacred life into our earth. We want to make note with territory acknowledgments that they are just one small piece of disrupting and dismantling colonial structures. And if you don't know where what the land is that you occupy, you can check out different websites that Devin has put into the chat. So you can type in your city, your zip code, and you can see where you are. So all of you that might be here that are perhaps visually impaired, I am a white woman with freckled skin, red hair, blue-gray eyes, and I'm wearing a gray sweater and a blue and white scarf, and I am in a light blue-colored room. And we will have a detailed transcript of the episode today that will be emailed to all registrants after the episode. So if you want to read that in more detail, we will do that. So I want to introduce Devin Davey, my co-creator. She's a strategy consultant and helps social entrepreneurs, founders, and CEOs get unstuck by co-designing and implementing people and process solutions. Devin, like I said, will be monitoring the chat. And if you need anything, please do a direct message and reach out to her. And you can see her website there, devindavey.com. And I'm the CEO and founder of Pause for Change. And I help nonprofits, local governments, and philanthropic foundations address challenges and opportunities in less time using fewer resources with deeper impact. So we are really committed to working on this project with Possibility Project. And we created it in March of last year when we saw everything that was happening. And we have four goals. And you see the goal at the bottom there is how can we transform these crises to have greater meaning so we can be better than normal? And these are the four goals that we are focused on. We want to unite a community of diverse change makers. We want to stimulate new thinking and a thirst for deeper change. We want people to walk away and say, wow, I never thought of that before. I never thought of it like that. And I want more of this. And I want to come in community with more people that are thinking like I do. And we want to explore collaborations that might be possible. Our speakers have had really great connections with others. People that have attended have also made connections. So I definitely encourage you to network and really make those deeper chats with your breakout groups. And then the fourth, we want to examine our role with transformation, starting with ourselves, really having self-awareness and introspection about what we need to focus on. So today, I'll get through the quick agenda. We are going to talk about the why briefly behind the episode. We're going to hear from our speakers. You will have time for Q&A to ask them any questions that you have. And then we do go into breakout groups because we want you to have a chance to meet other people and really go deeper into these topics. And then we'll come back for some key takeaways and debrief and then talk about next steps on our next upcoming episode. So the why behind the topic, Create Protest, How Artists Frame Dissent and Hope, is that I believe that art really shows the beauty and the filth that we have, right? The good and the bad. It holds a mirror to what we have in our society going on. And I really believe that artists can help us reimagine the future by unleashing creativity, reimagining what's possible and what could be. So I'm so excited to have our three artists here with us today. And before we jump into meeting our artists, I want to first introduce Julie Ray and Cynthia Camboy-Brophy. And I'm going to stop sharing and have them jump in and talk about Create Protests, the why behind that. And they're going to share some of the amazing artwork of our artists. So Julie, do you want to jump in?
Cynthia's going to go first, but okay. I will go ahead and share my screen. We have a few slides of awesome. The artwork from our three artists.
Great. Yeah. So thanks, everybody. And thanks to Heather and Devin for inviting us to join this great project that you've launched this year and to share Create Protest. Julie and I came together to launch Create Protest as a platform for message makers. And we wanted to promote messages that we felt were being drowned out, messages of respect, of inclusivity and fairness. And we didn't want to just generate messages. We wanted to connect people with action. So we started this last year in this critical election year, really focused on the election, motivated to do something at a time of extreme divisiveness in our country and a divisiveness that we saw crescendoed into a devastating climax last week. So we really feel like it's a moment for alternative messages of strength, unity, respect. We wanted to connect artists as message creators with a community of people who wanted to speak up, speak out, participate, and create this intersection of imagination and action, of messaging and doing. As Heather said, artists are mirrors of what is happening in our society. So how can we engage them as reflecting that mirror back to us and creating messages that we can promote? So Julie and I both come from the nonprofit world, and we wanted to experiment with this profit platform using Shopify and Printful. And so we created this hybrid business intersecting commerce and activism. And the goals are engaging artists to imagine and design the messages that we seek, that we need at this time, and then providing a platform for us all to access these messages, to, you know, in a very simple way, to buy the products that they've designed and wear them in the world as a way of speaking out these messages. And then offering resources that we've filtered through, that we respect, that help us all take action, and efforts that everybody who joins comes to the platform can see and participate and choose to participate in themselves. So it's really a way of saying and doing. Say it, do it is what we're thinking. And Julie was gonna, and so we're really happy to have Manwan and Florencio and Naima here with us today to share their work too. But Julie was going to say some things a little bit more specific about what we do.
Oh, you're muted, Julie. Oh, you're still muted.
How about now?
Yes.
Okay. I was trying to do the slideshow and talk at the same time. So we started in February 2020 with 9 artists, and we've grown now to 14 artists from 6 states. And actually, I noticed one of our other artists is on the call, Gabby from Texas. So thanks for joining us. And so we took the artist designs that they shared and we put them on various products like shirts and hats and stickers. And, we also had so the artists, they came up with their own concepts and their own designs. But we did do one focused campaign on the super states, which were some of the key states in the election. So we had some specific artwork from Texas and Arizona and Colorado. So that's the commerce piece, which is pretty straightforward. But as Cynthia said, we wanted to do this hybrid of commerce and activism. So the activism piece includes a couple different areas. We held a couple virtual phone banking events last year leading up to the election. We also had some postcard writing parties. And we did a partnership with Postcards to Voters, which I'm sure some of you are familiar with. It's this huge volunteer group where thousands of people write postcards to Democratic voters around the country. And so four of our artists, including Manwan, donated their designs to be printed on postcards, and those are for sale through the Postcards to Voters website. So those postcards were used in the postcard writing party. And then we also have resources on our website, and we've shared various resources through our social media platform. And then the last piece is today, the panel. So we're really excited because we've never had this broader engagement, and we really want to keep working on other ways to have engagement and build community. And so we invite you to put any, to answer this question in the chat, which our question to you is, what kind of messages would you like to see on our merchandise, or what kind of issues would you like to see addressed? And we'd like to keep the conversation going. And yeah, we're looking, really looking forward to the conversation today.
Awesome.
And stop sharing.
Thank you so much. Thank you. So we want to get to meeting our amazing guests, and we do things a little bit differently here at Possibility Project. Devin will put the amazing bios and links so you can learn more about our speakers. And you also have them in the email reminder as well. So I encourage you to please, you know, follow them on Instagram, check out their websites, look at the Create Protest site to see what their collections and their shops look like. But I just want to give, we give a real simple introduction, just the basics of who they are. And then we have them each tell like a little fun fact or something interesting about themselves. So I'm going to kick that off. Manwan, we're going to introduce first. So Manwan is a Los Angeles-based multi-award winning artist, illustrator, curator, and entrepreneur. And Manwan also was a high-level athlete. So if you want to unmute yourself, we want to hear more about that.
Yeah, so keyword is was. So yeah, I grew up playing soccer and, you know, got all the way to playing Division I soccer at NCAA at LMU, and had an opportunity to play pro second division in both Germany and Mexico. And I turned them both down because I was going to school at the time, and I didn't want to live in another country at that moment. So, and that was before there was a professional soccer league here, the MLS. So I didn't get to play pro, but I decided to do art instead. I guess one of the fun facts there is I played semi-pro for many years here in LA. And one of the guys I played against quite often was Rod Stewart. And, you know, at the time I was in my 20s and he was, must have been, I don't know, 50 or something. I don't know. And the guy can play. So that was kind of cool.
I love that. I love that. So please read his amazing bio in the chat. So next up is Naima. So Naima is a Chicago-based artist, art therapist, and licensed professional counselor. And when Naima was doing her studies, she went global. So can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, when I went to grad school back in 2014, I had the lovely opportunity, which was part of the reason why I went ahead and went forward with the program, to travel abroad. I went to Tanzania for about 2 weeks, got to practice art therapy there. That was a really humbling experience because I never thought this little girl from Chicago would get to go to Africa and spend 2 weeks traveling abroad, meeting other students and making art. So that was a really great experience. I'm not an athlete at all, but I did try playing soccer. I busted my knee, but it was all good. I had fun. And then I also had the opportunity to go on the outside artist kind of a tour through different museums in Europe. And so that was my little backpacking across Europe and learning about art, getting rained on in Paris, and just like really enjoying seeing a new world. And I think that's really informed just like my art practice now. So that was a great opportunity. And I can't wait to go back and travel a little bit more.
That's awesome. Oh, I love that so much. We can all play soccer, right, at some level. But not like Manwan, I'm sure, Rod Stewart. So our next guest is Florencio Zavala, is an LA-based artist, designer, creative director, and founder of Estudio Zavala, a conceptual design and illustration practice addressing global needs through local actions. And Florencio, I want you to talk about what you're a huge fan of and how it actually impacted your family.
Sure. Well, nice to meet everyone. It's funny. My parents are on, so they can attest to this, but We're all huge science fiction fans in my family. It's quite frequent, whenever we get together that there'll just be, some science fiction film on in the background. Like my sister likes to refer to it as his like background movies, because there's just, it's just something that we all can kind of, especially my siblings and my dad, we can all get together and really nerd out. So much so that my youngest daughter, we kind of ran out of family names when we got to her. And so we were like, okay, well, what's your middle name going to be? And it was up to me. So her name, middle name happens to be Fade, which if you are familiar with Dune, it's one of the villains. And she has no idea what it means. I mean, one day I'll have to explain it to her, but you know, for now, it sounds very sweet, but you know, it has this whole story that she has like, she's not into science fiction, by the way. She's into princesses and all that. So my oldest, you know, I'm getting her into kind of like fantasy, but, yeah, it's something that like we've just always been into. And, it's kind of like our little secret obsession. So I'll leave it at that.
Awesome. Oh, I love that. I love that. Yes. I'm also, you know, science, sci-fi and futurism and all that cool stuff that comes from that. So I appreciate all of our speakers here today, our artists and Julie and Cynthia, and then all of you that are here joining. I really appreciate you. And what we do is when we started Possibility Project, we started with three questions back in March. Devin and I just started calling our contacts around the country, and we asked them first how they were doing and what life was like for them, you know, from Chicago to Wisconsin to New York to San Diego, to really get a sense of what it was like in their communities. And then we asked them two simple questions that our artists will talk about today. The first is, what dysfunctions do you want to disappear? And the second is, what's emerging that gives you hope? Because we all saw that in such struggle, you know, that we're still feeling right now, living through right now, we have to honor what's messed up and how we got there. But we also have to think about what's giving us hope and what's moving forward and emerging that are opportunities for shifts and change. So we're going to have our speakers take about 3 minutes each, and they're going to have their time to answer that first question of what dysfunctions they want to disappear, related to this topic of creating protests and how artists can frame hope and dissent. So Naima, do you want to kick us off?
Yes. Thank you. This is all like, this question just in general, is a tough one for me to answer because I feel like there's so much, but given everything that happened, last week, I feel like something like a dysfunction that I want to get rid of is the notion that we live in a post-racial America, because I think that that really kind of creates a lens for people not to be able to like share their lived experiences and talk about racism and talk about oppression. And just seeing what happened at the Capitol last week in comparison to what has happened to Black Lives Matter protesters of color, especially here in Chicago, we've seen more police activity and people guarding a statue of Christopher Columbus than we saw at the Capitol. And so I think this notion of post-racial America is something that I hope that we can get rid of that idea, especially given COVID has highlighted a lot of the things that people of color and people in the movement have been talking about. I also think white supremacy, like not being afraid to name that and just say like, hey, this is what's happening. And all the ills that we're experiencing are parts of that, and capitalism and not having access to healthcare, not having universal income. So I think by having some conversations around those topics, we can start to talk about how we create protest and how we show up, especially as an artist. And I always feel conflicted because I like, do I share this much of how I feel in my artwork? Because I know that if I share how I'm truly feeling, I may receive some criticism, right? And naming some of those things. And I had some people in the artist collective I'm a part of named Goya, right? They made art about Goya and just their stance with Trump and got a lot of death threats. And so sometimes it puts us in a situation where you want to speak up and name the things, white supremacy, capitalism, oppression, but it's hard to do so when you are part of that oppressed population and wanting to seek out art as a means to share. So I think for me, those are topics I'm always thinking about, and just the ways that like white supremacy gaslights us. So yeah, those are topics. I think it comes up in my practice as a clinician, because predominantly most of my clients are, you know, dealing with like housing instability, food instability. And then it's hard to work on that inner stuff when you don't have your basic needs met, especially during a pandemic. When you can't grieve with your parents or grandparents because they've passed because of all the situations that are happening. So I hope that these notions that we live in a post-racial America disappear after the pandemic settles.
Thank you. Very important. Very, very important. Manwan, do you want to go next?
Sure. I'm going to frame this answer with what's dysfunctional and what I want to get rid of. In terms of being an artist and being in the art world, because I see a lot of, similarities. It's kind of like the art world is kind of like a microcosm of the bigger world. And you know, the one thing that I think the big dysfunction in the art world is this, it has, I, in my mind, has always been the gatekeepers. And, what I mean by that is that, you know, to be in the art world and so-called move up the ladder and status as an artist, there's always people who are, you know, either letting you in or blocking you, from, you know, being at a certain level as an artist. The funny thing is that I never got into art, in the traditional way, or I guess you can say, I mean, my first exposure to art, I grew up, you know, I was born in East LA. And, my first exposure to art was seeing huge murals on the sides of buildings. Most of them by, you know, Chicano artists, right? And those murals wouldn't have been up there unless it was done as a political statement. They weren't done just art for art's sake, right? And then growing up, in that environment, being a first generation American, both my parents being immigrants from Mexico, art became my language, you know, because literally I didn't start speaking English till I was in first grade. And so when art became my language, that's when I was able to communicate with my peers and other kids and et cetera, all the way to when I got into high school, which is when I got into graffiti art. And, you know, I didn't learn graffiti at school. I didn't have history class, art history classes about graffiti art or anything. We just did it on the streets. And that was my introduction into art. I didn't go to a museum probably till, sometime in high school. It was the first time I went to a museum, you know? And even when I was ready to graduate from high school, I still didn't even understand that you can make a living as an artist and that there was actually a career as an artist, available. And so, you know, graffiti became my inroad to the art world. And, being a graffiti artist, being Latino, you always have a mark on your back. And, you know, one of the things was, you know, the act of picking up a spray can was, you know, was crazy. That just that alone was an act of protest, you know? I had guns pulled on me by cops, all my life because I was holding a spray can instead of a brush. So I was introduced very early to the whole notion about, you know, using art as a way to protest, but also I turned it into, something that we can use, for social change. And that's kind of what I've been focused at on like these last, you know, few decades, you know?
I love that. I hate that you've had those experiences, but the difference between a spray can and a brush, really important. Florencio, do you want to share your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. And I kind of want to touch a little bit upon what both Naima and Man said. I think we, you know, one thing that is that I'm hearing from both Man and Naima, we're talking about these these awakenings that happen maybe later in life when we're adults. And, you know, one thing that is really, and I've had to kind of think about this too with my own, you know, education. But we come to learn about a lot of these things, either if we're not experiencing them, you know, in, it comes after school, you know, oftentimes, you know, this sort of introduction of real, like, civics or dissent or revolution. They're always, like, packaged in this way that, it's not everybody's history, right? It's almost like we're just kind of, you know, watching this one history channel, but, you know, it doesn't become personal until we're older, because that then we, you know, have that sort of experience to kind of see things and learn just from from that. And so I really feel like there's such an importance of bringing more of that kind of just core civics education, you know, earlier on. You know, what does it mean to be a citizen? You know, make sure we talk about all histories, not just our own. You know, I mean, my sister, she teaches history, and you know, I know this is something that she has tried to help change, you know, by bringing in different resources into her classes. And I just feel like the bar is just, like, just way too low. And I mean, you know, what happened, like, in the Capitol, you know, it really was so much chaos, and there was a lot of, like, embarrassment, and there was, like, these sort of, like, layers of white supremacy, and it just, you know, it just reinforced that, like, at so many, like, levels, like, people are confused right now, and it's our fault, you know, like, and we just need to educate our youth better about what's right and about how to work together. And you know, like, this education shouldn't come when we're, you know, already, you know, working and having to figure things out. It's too late by then. You know, I the other thing I will say is, I'm really hoping that the creation of things like Create Protests will inspire and influence more platforms and opportunities. Because, you know, like Man said about the gatekeepers, like, you know, I've been in design studios, I've been in advertising agencies, like, there's gatekeepers everywhere, you know, whether you're on the street or whether you're, you know, in a $1 million company. You know, the only way that those things can change if we're in there just disrupting them and changing those numbers and, you know, pushing for more equity and more programs to balance the system. Otherwise, you know, it is going to stay the way it is, you know, and it's you know, you need dissent to make things better for everyone. So I just wish I wasn't in my 40s, you know, coming to so many of these realizations, but that I was, you know, an armed 15-year-old with not, like, ideas and means to kind of start addressing these things sooner. You know, like, I look to some of these, like, these high school kids who are speaking out against gun violence, and something tragic has to happen to them in order for them to, you know, learn those hard life lessons, and that it's a shame. So that's something that's really important to me in all of this.
And it's interesting how you all have come to art, and how, Naima, what you're saying, what you feel comfortable sharing in art. Oh, I hope I'm not frozen. Can you still hear me and see me? Okay, thank you. My internet's having fun right now. So for this next piece, what we want to do is we want our three artists to just have a more casual conversation and talk about, we have about just 15 minutes, but how would you answer the second question of what's emerging that gives you hope? So everyone that's listening in on the chat, please put any comments you have in the chat about what dysfunctions you want to see disappear. But our next question is, what do you see changing? what's giving you hope? What has you excited for the future and what you want to see more of? So Manwan, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. I mean, you know, for me, I think, and what, you know, being part of this, Create protest, is perfect timing because, you know, what 2020 has taught a lot of people is that, you know, we're all connected. We're all interconnected. And we can work from anywhere and we can, speak from anywhere and we can be heard from anywhere. And then turn that into, a way to monetize, make a living, support other people, things like that. Before this, a lot of us who were already doing that, it was still not, you know, something that was, you know, seen by corporate America or other companies as something that was viable or whatever. But now that we've been forced to live this kind of world, all of a sudden there's like this huge explosion of people who are taking, you know, being virtual and being online to new heights, to new levels. And, that's kind of what my hope, where my hope is that people, keep taking that and moving that message forward, you know, and also it's a big disruption because, you know, we're talking about the, or I was talking about the gatekeepers. They're not really playing a big role in, as much of a big role as they once had, because now you can go direct to the people. You know, I can sell my stuff directly to people. I don't have to be in a store. I can show my art directly to people. I can sell my art. I don't need a gallery. And this is my platform now, you know, and, the more that people empower themselves with that, I think the more powerful, the future is going to be. And obviously with diversity and with, equality and all that, it's kind of the same thing, you know? So I have a lot of hope for what's to come.
I love that.
You're frozen.
Is everyone frozen?
No, I think you're frozen.
Okay. There you are. We're back. Okay. Take it away, Naima.
Oh, I didn't even hear that part.
Oh, no, sorry.
No, that's okay. Yeah, I think, yes, like Manuel would say, like the gatekeepers are no longer there, but I think like 2020 for me was like really scary, but also like it gives me a lot of hope and it makes me think about, I had an opportunity to see Adrienne Marie Brown speak at a conference. It was virtual at the Facing Race conference. And, you know, they said something really powerful. And I wrote it down. I took a quote, and it just, she basically said, we are each other's abundance. And that if we allow everyone to be wholly themselves and liberated, permission is possible. And I just started really thinking about, yes, how, you know, being virtual has really changed and shifted a lot for me. I'm a clinician, and so most of my sessions have all been virtual, which has been very different to do art therapy online. But it's also like opened up this new space for me to even explore and give myself permission to see what it is like to be a clinician and also an artist, a freelance artist. So I've shifted from working full time to part time. So I can cultivate more of that identity. And I think that gives me hope and it has me reimagining what this could look like, whether it's virtual artist therapy sessions or connecting with individuals, even getting better at public speaking, because that's something that, you know, I always shy away from. So I think it's forcing me in some ways to grow. But I think it's also really great to see all the Black and Indigenous people creating art and like seeing the artwork getting its flowers and seeing people really seeking out individuals directly and saying, hey, like, I want you to create art about X, Y, and Z. And I want someone who has that lived experience to do that. And I hope that in 2021, that doesn't stop because it seems like there's a push. And I'm hoping that people see that, you know, our work is valuable and that it's not craft, that it's actual work. It's not outsider art, that it is art. And that we can find ourselves in more gallery spaces and seeing that, you know, art does not have to look one way. So that's my hope for the future.
I love that. Great. Lorenzo, a couple thoughts from you. What's emerging giving you hope?
Yeah, I think specific to to education. I will say I think what Mann said about you know, people kind of taking things into their own hands, you know, that's I've seen that happen in different ways, you know, because we have to move forward, right? And so, like, we have to innovate, and at the same time, that is happening while all of this kind of social change is happening. So, some friends of mine just put out a curriculum of BIPOC design history that they are starting to teach, and that's something that has been absent. You know, I went to school for design twice, and you know, there were a few examples here or there, but there was nothing that was as in depth as that. So that you know, gets me excited about the future, because now that's becoming canon, right? I think, you know, for me personally, being able to spend more time with my kids, and I know a lot of other parents are doing that now, and or having to deal with that, and I know it's difficult, but at the same time, like, we are there more with them, and therefore that, you know, being with our would be them being with their mom or their dad or people they don't get to see as often, I feel like this kind of incubation period is just, there's a lot that's being shared kind of between the parent and the children, and also to be able to be present to talk about these things, especially with my older daughter, it's so important right now. So I'm really grateful to be able to have these conversations with her, and I you know, I hope other parents are feeling like they are benefiting from that as well, even though I know it adds another layer of stress. And then the last thing I wrote down here is, I guess I just haven't even really thought about it that much, but most of the projects that I'm being commissioned for these days are from, you know, other Black and Brown people. So, it, you know, like that, there is that the community is stepping up and supporting each other in so many different ways, even just, you know, recognizing and saying, you know, oh, it's our time to really, you know, focus on these voices that haven't, you know, had the opportunity before. So, you know, I you know, give kudos to them. And I mean, you know, within my own network, it's like, I'm always trying to either bring together or, you know, help out, you know, my diverse community of color. So the more we can do that, you know, in whatever positions we're in, whether we're an individual, whether within a company or an agency, and continue to elevate and, you know, shine light on those people, like, that's you know, it's happening now. You're seeing it on LinkedIn. I mean, the amount of just new creative voices that I've seen, like, emerge in LinkedIn, it's like, oh my God, like, where was this before? So that just gives me hope. You know, I'm a little skeptical. I worry that, you know, things will have these sort of dips and peaks, but, you know, that all the more reason to keep having these conversations and to just kind of keep this momentum going. And it's crazy that we have to think about it like momentum, right? It should, because it should really just be a standard. But yeah, those are all things that are, you know, making me feel good right now.
That's awesome. So we want to hear from all of you. If you have questions for the artists, put those in the chat. We'll give you a moment to really think through that. We want to have time that you can interact a bit. And after we do Q&A, we are going to go to the breakout rooms so that you can meet some other folks and have conversations about what's sticking with you. There was a question that came through via email that was a question that was, how do we navigate this creative process in which you're constrained to use the tools of the very system you wish to criticize and change? And this is a common question we run across in multiple episodes of, like, how do we just tear apart and dismantle a system that we still do have to move within? So I would love, while we see if any other questions pop up, Manwan, do you want to tackle that one? How would you answer that one? Like, how do you navigate the creative process in which you're constrained to use the tools and the system you're, you know, criticizing, want to change?
Right. Well, I mean, I look at that as that's kind of like, that's been happening forever, I think. People have always, you know, had to criticize things that they were a part of, the society they're a part of, you know, that's how you stretch and grow. You know, one of the things I always, you know, when I went to college, for example, the reason I wanted to get a fine art degree, as a graffiti artist was so that I could, have something that other graffiti artists couldn't offer or didn't have. And at the same time, so that I could be in this art world and know the language, and be on the inside in order to disrupt. And it kind of worked because, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities that I received over the years, because I had that education. And there's a lot of things I've been able to accomplish, within that structure. So, you know, as much as we want to destroy things and start all over, sometimes you have to kind of do it from within, you know? So, I mean, for example, being on this platform, for example, being online, a lot of artists last year, were not ready. And, when the whole world went, you know, went online, they didn't have websites. They didn't have, shops. And all of a sudden you've seen, a bunch of these artists start, having really big issues, really big troubles financially and otherwise because they weren't set up for this world. They were just living in the real world, of course, but, they hadn't set up their other space. And, some of those artists haven't been able to catch up and have fallen by the wayside or are trying to do other things. And some other artists just are never going to be in this space. They're just, if they don't have a gallery representing them, they're just not going to be able to do anything because they never, kept up to date with what's going on, you know? So I think it's an important time to kind of have your hands in a bunch of different buckets and, have as much expertise or knowledge about, you know, both the physical world and the virtual world. Because that's the future. And, I think you have to be ready for it. And whether you're going to be fighting it or not, you know, I think it's important to have that knowledge, you know?
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Can I add something to that too? I always think Manwin's been really, he's always stood out in exploring different ways of that question of gatekeeper, the question of systems and his use of, and I think also tackling this intersection of fine art or commercialism, right? The way in which he's tackled that kind of systems thinking, I guess, is one of the ways it inspired us to go create protest. So he used Shopify and Printful first. And so we're sort of copying him. And one of the things that, that I got inspired by is, the way in which Shopify was founded. And there's an interesting podcast that the founder of Shopify, I think he was on Guy Raz's How I Built This. And he was creating this back-end platform before 2008. And in 2008, when the recession happened, many people lost their jobs. And so they were looking for different ways to earn a living. And this platform then sort of took off as a way to support entrepreneurial creative thinkers. By providing this back-end support. So it's not a perfect system, but yet it was a disruptor. It was a way to think differently. And, you know, for me and Julie to start something like this, we didn't have to, it was low risk. Like we didn't have to invest in inventory or package and think of ways to collect sales tax and set up a banking system. We can just plug in the idea into this back-end system. So it's, I encourage you go back and listen to that founder. I found him inspiring as a disruptor.
Yeah. And it makes me think of another question that I would love to hear your thoughts on. What do you think is coming in the future? In you know, thinking about sci-fi and possibility and what we're seeing now, like, what are your hopes for art and for artists for the future? Like, can you see another trend that's coming either around protest or production or commercialization or creation? We'd love to hear if any of you have thoughts about that.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, go ahead. No.
I guess, like, for me, I think we'll probably end up in some sort of hybrid, by the end of this year, just based on, we've affirmed that we need each other, that we need that connection, but we've shown that we can create that connection in different ways, and we're okay, and we can, some things we're okay with and some things maybe not as much, and some things are maybe better, right? Like Naima was talking about people opening up online, because they're depending on just people's, personality, like you might be willing to say more or share more in a digital space. So, and also too, just like being able, showing that like we can work in this way that is, in person and remote. I feel like it's just going to create a lot of opportunities and a lot of space and a lot of time to, like, what are we going to do with that extra time? Are we going to spend it more on work? Are we going to spend it on self-care? Or are we going to spend it on, giving that time away, volunteering? Like, I just feel like we're going to find that we have maybe more time on our hands to, and how are we going to spend it, right? When we're not using all of that energy to, just push back against all the like negativity that's been there. Like when the new administration comes to, like, how is the country going to sort of settle? Like, there's a lot to be said about what's coming. And I think that, just building off the last question, being open to change and understanding that change is a constant and being sort of flexible in the way that we do things. I mean, this type of even panel discussion wouldn't have existed maybe a year ago, right? So like, be open to things like this. This is still connection, communication, and, hopefully we take the best things and get rid of the things that were not good for us, So that's, we'll see.
Yeah. We'll all see what's to come.
Yeah.
Well, we want to give you all a chance to chat with each other. And we have a couple tips that we offer up that we want you to keep in mind. So we want this to be a safe space for everyone to share and to be open, like we've been talking about. So the breakout rooms are not recorded at all. And everything that's said within those breakout rooms is confidential. We will ask after we all come back, after being with others, that you can debrief in the chat. You can talk about really great thoughts that came out of your session, but we want to make sure that you don't report back specific names or information that was shared to violate someone's confidence. We want to bring that up. We want you to share talking space. So there will be about 3 or 4 of you in each group. So we want you to know that you have about 12 minutes or so. So take time if you tend to step in, kind of maybe step back. If you step back, step in. We do want one of you to be the facilitator. We are going to send you off into a room. We won't be there. So whoever's first name is closest to letter A in the alphabet, whoever's name comes first in the alphabet, you're the facilitator. And your job is just to make sure that all voices are heard and you're keeping track of time. But we'll send you little love notes that we broadcast about time. So be mindful about that. If you do get lost in the interwebs, which it totally can happen on Zoom, just hit the button that says return to main room. And I will be there waiting to put you in a different room and to sort things out. So again, your facilitator is the person whose name appears first in the alphabet. And the prompt that we want to offer to you is, what's sticking for you? What is something that you've heard our speakers talk about today that you're feeling like has relevance to your life right now and for 2021, and what's really sticking in your mind? So I'm going to finesse some of the rooms. So there may be some scooting around, but I'm going to open them now, and we'll see you in a bit after you have time to chat. Here you go.
Thank you for joining us. Please do join us for the next live Possibility Project so you can take part in the breakout sessions that follow. All sessions are recorded. Please visit possibilityproject.org and connect with us on LinkedIn so we can invite you to meet more incredible impact influencers and make new connections with people who care about what you care about. This has been Possibility Project, produced in cooperation with the nonprofit Snapcast.